Welcome back in. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thank you so much for joining us, spending part of your Monday with us, with it, wherever you are, as we are joined by Michael Lombardi on the East Coast. I'm Ben Wilson here at our Las Vegas South Point Sportsbook Studios. Stephanie Kamerschek, our producer behind the glass. And Michael, what better way to start the hour than with some breaking news? We just talked ad nauseum about the Aaron Rodgers situation in Green Bay, thinking about the reports we saw over the weekend that essentially alluded to the fact that sportsbooks have been taking so many of their future odds down with the thought that he is set to announce an impending retirement of sorts this week. Well, maybe hold on to that thought for a moment, because we just saw Ian Rappaport, his breaking news coming out. This was 7 minutes ago. Tweet from him: Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers has indicated to people close to him that he does plan to play. Yes, does plan to play for Green Bay this season. Sources say. We got to throw in the sources say, Michael, as you know. That is the expectation. Many factors at play, but with GM Brian Gutekunst saying he is hopeful for a positive outcome, there is a glimmer of optimism. So, all right, your thoughts on that? When we've talked about everything that just happened this weekend, and we now see that report, Michael.
Well, I mean, some of the spinmeisters through the world are going to have a trouble here, you know. What options did he have? I mean, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, Ben, once he didn't go into that COVID protocol area where he was able to retire for the season, retiring wasn't an option for him. He wasn't going to retire. I mean, that was the perfect place if you wanted to retire. Or if you just didn't want to play for the Packers for a year and you knew they weren't going to trade you. You go there and you wait. And then you come back out. But at 38 years old, you don't have years to wait. So you figure, okay, I can't go there. I want to play football. I don't want to pay money back. They own my rights. I signed this long-term extension. As much as Dave Dunn wants to try to manipulate the media and convince people that I'm leaving and why am I unhappy, which we really can't get to the bottom of his unhappiness. Does it have anything to do with Jordan Love, who he says he loves? I don't know, but the reality of it is I think if he's playing football this year, he's playing for the Packers. That's always been my expectation. If he plays football, it's for the Packers. If he wants to take a hardline stance, then he should have gone out with the COVID thing.
There is the tweet in full on your screen as we start our second hour of the show with some of this breaking news again from Ian Rappaport. The one other thing, Michael, that Ian mentioned in his report that I found interesting was that it is also, and you mentioned this too, how, look, just logistically, it was always going to be really difficult for them to find a clean way to not have Rodgers play for the team in 2021, just based on where his contract was at. However, coming out of this potential season, you go into 2022, and that is when there is an out clause in his contract. And so what Rappaport is reporting now is that one possible solution has emerged: allow Rodgers full say in where he goes in 2022, which is basically what we just saw happen with Tom Brady. That would be the easy, quick comp to make. And the thought is maybe that would help both sides moving forward. At that point, does that seem like the most likely outcome here to you? Or does that seem like we're rushing things and jumping the gun a little bit?
Well, I mean, you know, this is called save face time now. We got to save face for all those reports that he was unhappy and he's never coming in. I mean, we got to start saving face here. I mean, we got to have some out clause. You got to give Dave Dunn something that he can talk about, that he's won this, so that he can sell the next kid on how he can manipulate the NFL and how he controls everything that goes on in the NFL. I mean, that's what agents do. They convince the players that they have all this authority. You know, you want a head coaching job? Sign with me. I'll get you a head coaching job. I talked to 18 owners a day. You know, that's their line. So the reality of it is the rights that were collectively bargained have always been very strong, because the owners are not going to allow anything to mess with their business. And their businesses, when they agreed to this new 10-year contract, they did not want holdouts. They did not want the NBA. They wanted to be the anti-NBA in terms of players demanding trades and getting what they wanted. That's not what the NFL is about. It's a 53-man sport. It's not a three superstar sport. So, you know, you're on a team. The Brady thing, let's just put that in the right perspective. Brady decided to not extend his contract, and he became a free agent and voided the contract. Rodgers' contract has the option of the club, not the player option, the club option. So they still control it. They exercise that option. He has 3 more years, and they've got to pay for it.
No, and that's an important distinction to make as well, because, yeah, we could very well, if these reports are true for me and Rappaport, we could very well be having the same exact conversations, Michael, at this time next year as we welcome you back into the Lombardi Line. Again, for those of you just joining us, the Lombardi Line here on VSiN, joined by Michael Lombardi. I'm Ben Wilson. When we're talking about what could the same conversation be between all of us talking about this and the Packers and Aaron Rodgers at this time next year, well, it's because of the report that just came out from Ian Rappaport that suggests Aaron Rodgers has indicated to people close to him that he does plan to play for the Green Bay Packers. That is according to sources telling Ian Rappaport. Again, there's the full tweet up. That's the expectation. Many factors at play, but with GM Brian Gutekunst saying he is hopeful for a positive outcome, there is a glimmer of optimism. And I'm glad you brought that up, Michael, with the contract, because we mentioned this at the top of the show, where there's the club option at the end of this season. The next 2 years for Rodgers would be at a $25 million base per year, the $11.5 million additional guaranteed money, so $36.5 million in 2022, $25 million in 2023. We saw the reports over the weekend from Pro Football Talk that he was believed to have been wanting in the 2 years, $90 million guaranteed range. We kind of broke that down in hour one, but you know, it's interesting as well. We've seen how quickly the books have reacted to all of this news coming out. Most of them have made the decision at this point. Look, it's too much of a bear on our ends. Let's just take the odds off the board. Circa is one of the few books that kept them on the board, at least the only book in Nevada that still did. Now, what's interesting here, Michael, with this news coming out about 10 minutes ago, Packers were plus 190. They had moved from a minus 120 favorite to plus 190. Minnesota had been bet down to or moved down to plus 125. Packers, I'm now seeing at Circa, plus 140. So that at least just this tweet alone, enough to move the line by 50 cents. No change on either the Vikings, Bears, or Lions at this point. And there are pretty low limits, we should point out, on this, with it being the offseason, $1,000 limits right now. But what do you make of that move, Michael, from plus 190 to plus 140, just on a tweet alone, well, the power of a tweet?
Well, I think it's just realistic. I mean, finally, we have people that understand the rules. And the rules have always indicated that Rodgers was going to play in Green Bay if he played. And once he passed that COVID deadline, he really had no more options. It's like Deshaun Watson has no options. Now, Deshaun Watson can get himself traded because not because the Texans wanted to trade him, but because they're uncertain about the civil suits. So, again, I keep stressing this to people. The collective bargaining agreement has given the teams, I know it doesn't sound that way in the media and the way the worldwide leader presents it, but the collective bargaining agreement has always given teeth to the teams when a player has a signed contract. $50,000 a day. You think that clause got put in there because they wanted holdouts? No, we went through a period when I first started the National Football League before you were born where we used to have holdouts constantly, and it was annoying and it hurt. It took away from the game itself, and the owners didn't want anything to do with it, and the players knew it was wrong. And so, you know, when you look back on this offseason, once the Mahomes contract came in, all of a sudden Russell Wilson's unhappy, Rodgers is unhappy, Watson's unhappy. Why? Because the bar was set higher, and it's about the money. It's about the money. You know, nobody complained when Jared Goff got the money. They just felt he was overpaid. They knew they were going to get their money based on that. But when you get $45 million, when you really stretch it out, and then Dak Prescott gets his deal, you know, and Rodgers, and I say this, and I've been critical of the agent and the behavior, but Rodgers deserves a raise. He deserves a raise. There's no doubt. I mean, that's where I fought Mark Murphy. Mark Murphy should have been on this 6 months ago. He should have been all over this. Like, we need to give this guy more. Now, they say they tried. They say they tried. In fairness, they say they tried. We'll see.
Right.
But I think this is just the way the rules are in the league right now.
The numbers speak for themselves. 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions last year in his age 38 season, Michael. So you make the point there. And looking as well, just checking BetMGM a moment ago, they do have now the NFC championship odds posted. Super Bowl odds are available. Still nothing on the NFC North. Packers, I'm seeing 8-1 to win the NFC, 16-1 to win the Super Bowl. Both of those odds are slightly longer maybe than what we would have seen in the offseason before all of these rumors and conjecture started to fly. But again, if you're just joining us now, it does seem, though, at least from this Ian Rappaport tweet and report here, that Aaron Rodgers, it sounds like a strong likelihood that he expects at least to play in Green Bay. I'll say this, Michael, as a Wisconsin native, you gave us the Johnny Sack cop earlier with it's all about the money with Aaron Rodgers. Look, I feel like Michael Scott in the vasectomy scene. I feel like I'm just going, you know, snip, snap, snip, snap. It's like three reverse vasectomies here. Like, can we just pick a lane already? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, but this is kind of like, you know, what we have to understand is partly as a betting network, we have to understand that where we're getting our information, that sometimes they're more interested in creating a story than reporting a story. Like, we don't have journalism in the purest form. So as a betting network, we have to be really careful to block out the noise. And that's one of the things about that I felt like I did a bad job of last year is blocking out the steam noise, which is ridiculous. You know, we can't even tell who the sharps are, but we're going to talk about steam, you know. And I think, to me, it's really important to block out this generation of news stories, because this is what it was. Russell Wilson was a generated news story. How long did it last for? It had no chance of ever happening. They were never trading Russell Wilson. You know, and so when I think what we have to do is block it out and just focus on what we know and keep the noise away from us.
Stephanie, you're preaching to the choir, by the way, on that, Michael. Stephanie did appreciate my Michael Scott reference. So, you know, at least I got a laugh out of somebody in here. But no, like, and to your point as well. I mean, you think about it, it's from just the media aspect. Like, here we are, we're talking NFL in July because it's something that moves the needle betting-wise 365 days a year. It's something that also gets talked about on all of these other networks at the same rate, essentially. And so, yeah, like, deciding what is a real story, what is not, that can be one of the more difficult things to do within the sports betting space. But, you know, I asked you earlier, Michael, what you would have said a win total with Jordan Love at quarterback, 6.5 or 7. There were kind of these sort of like, you know, 9.5, 10 lukewarm numbers, all with, again, with some of these doubts around Aaron Rodgers, and either they weren't even offered to begin with or the limits were incredibly low. Let's just say if we believe this report, and Ian Rappaport, one of the more respected NFL reporters that is in the business, we'll flip this back onto the Aaron Rodgers side. Are you thinking, is 9.5 a fair win total for Green Bay, or would you suggest this should be a little bit higher given the success that they've had each of the last 2 years, at least in the regular season with Rodgers?
I mean, they've won 26 games over the last 2 years with Rodgers,
exactly.
Even in spite of, with Mike Pettine as a defensive coordinator, with, you know, with my man LaFleur calling plays. I mean, they've been able, I mean, here's the reality of the National Football League. You must be able to avoid losing first. That's the number one rule in football, avoid losing. And that's what Rodgers does better than anyone. He avoids losing. And so he doesn't turn the ball over. So you're not going to get in a game where he's just going to mess it up and you lose. I mean, you find 7 losses on that Packers schedule. Yeah, I'm sure they could beat Minnesota. Steph, put that Packers schedule up. You tell me there's 7 losses on there if Rodgers plays to the level he played last year? You know, okay, they could lose to the Chiefs. They could lose to the Seahawks. That's 2. They'll probably lose once to the Vikings. I mean, will they lose to the Rams? Okay, I think it'll be a close game. Ravens, it's a harder schedule than you think, but I have a hard time finding 7 in there. You know, Saints, that shouldn't be a problem. First back, Lions, I don't care if it's on Monday night. I don't care if it's on Sunday night. I don't care if it's on Thursday night. That ain't going to matter. The 49ers, that'll be tough. The Steelers, I don't think that's a good team. The Bengals isn't a good team. The Brownies, the Bears, Washington's a nice story. Everybody's all over them. But, you know, nobody talks about the last game of the year when Washington was in a complete must-win situation and the Eagles no-mossed them and gave them the game. They reverted to random. They said, oh, no, you can just have it. So, you know, I mean, I have a hard time finding 7 losses on that schedule. I would go over if he plays.
Yeah. Well, and looking at it, you know, just kind of going down the list as well and just thinking about, all right, with Rodgers actually in here, they have mightily struggled in San Francisco. That's probably that's the first one I would look at, Michael. Just if you think about from the 2019 season where they got absolutely brutalized in a pair of games there at Levi Stadium. I look at San Francisco, to me, would be a loss. He has struggled, obviously, last year notwithstanding in Minnesota where we obviously had no fans, so it was a little bit different, but he historically has struggled in Minnesota. I would imagine a split there. I would look, Kansas City, I would put that likely as a loss. Rams, kind of a toss-up. I would say Ravens, likely a loss. Look, if you're telling me, 49ers loss, 1 loss to the Vikings, let's just even throw in loss to the Rams at home, loss at the Ravens, loss at the Chiefs. And even if you want to get really generous and just say, all right, between 2 against the Bears, Washington, Arizona on the road, if you're going to throw in 1, Browns at home is obviously going to be a tough game. Let's just say 1 of those they lose. Like, that's, I think, the most I can get to, Michael, and that's 6. Like, that's 11-6 right now. So to your point, like, just off the top of my head here, I'm totally with you. I don't know how you could set that any lower. I mean, we expected there were so many signs that pointed to regression last year, and that got bet down all the way down to 9 in a lot of spots. There were some 9.5 still before the start of the year. But like to your point, in what world do you really have any confidence setting this line below a 10.5 here? Even if that's the case, and if that's where the line is going to be at, why would you ever take that under?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're going to be, here's where they're going to be different on defense, Ben, is at least with Joe Barry, and the Raiders talked about hiring Joe Barry or Gus Bradley, kind of similar coaches, similar schemes, zone scheme, read the shoulders of the quarterback, break on the football, tackle well, don't get beat over the top. Play sound. Don't get crazy blitzes. Where last year, you know, that's what they were doing. They were always in these blitzes, and they got caught out, man, playing stupid coverages like they did at the end of the half against the Bucks. So I think that's going to just make them sounder, you know, and it's going to take a little bit of the pressure off. They're a good team now. If they can get Adams back in camp, you know, Adams is asking for ridiculous money. You know, just because Rodgers is unhappy, does that allow Adams to ask for $25 million a year? I doubt it. You know, they can franchise them. I mean, this is still a business. This isn't like we just give all the players the money. So I think they'll be a good team. You say, well, what will be effective? Well, David Bakari is his best friend. I mean, it's his best friend on the team, Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's not going to let him. You know, I think he's going to come to work and play. Bakari wants to win. So does Rodgers. I think that's what happens. Football players play football. That's what I know. And he'll play football.
You have to think, too, with the Adams piece of this as well, like so much of this is, you know, it's going to be partially at least contingent on Rodgers being there. And you would think with that dynamic and that relationship, those are two pieces. Again, if these reports that just came out from Ian Rappaport, we believe to be true, Michael, like that is going to be the case. And Adams will be presumably happy to be with Rodgers in a case like this. The one thing you mentioned on the defensive side, and that's probably the one, you know, you look at even the front seven as well. And we talk from year to year how hard it is to replicate just overall amounts of turnovers. And this was a team that definitely took a step backward in some of those cases last year. And part of that, the health, the Smith brothers struggled to stay on the field and replicate their immense production from especially early in the 2019 season. If we're just going in right now into the whole handicap of the team as well, now that we think with this latest report that it sounds like Rodgers will be with the team this year, coming from me in Rappaport this morning, from the front seven perspective and going a little bit deeper onto that side, which would appear to be along with the secondary, although we think again they've shored things up, and that's the thought coming in on the back end there. What are your thoughts on that front seven in general for a Green Bay team that still at times really struggled to generate much of a pass rush and put their DBs in some tough positions last season?
Well, I definitely think that they've got to get more production out of Preston Smith, you know, and their other outside rushers. They have to do that. Kenny Clark's still a good rusher inside, but they've got to be able to do that. They've got to get faster on defense. And this is a scheme that's going to rely on rushing four players, right? They're going to rush four, and they're going to try to put pressure, play zone behind it, and they're going to try to put pressure on the quarterback that way. And I think it's very possible that they can. Because, look, one thing you know when you have Aaron Rodgers, you're playing from in front. You're playing from in front, you know, and, you know, they've got to get Rashard Gary to play better at a higher level. Za'Darius Smith, the other Smith brother, he's got to really step up his game because last year, Preston Smith, remember, he got benched. Gary came in and played for him. So, you know, they still have a ways to go defensively. They have a really good corner in Jaire Alexander. You know, they, of course, naturally, they always love to draft corners and Eric Stokes, who they picked in the first round from Georgia. But defensively, you know, the way they're set up, because they'll play with the lead, they can be somewhat effective.
And the other element to this is as well, Michael, just, you know, you look at the rest of the teams in the NFC North, it's always interesting just from the strength of schedule, the rest standpoint. Again, if we're just basing strength of schedule off the Vegas win totals for this season, NFC North, really, they kind of drew the short straw here where the Packers actually have technically the best strength of schedule of everybody, and they're 17th out of the 32 teams. Again, if you're breaking this down solely by expected win totals set by the bookmakers here in Nevada, and three of the four teams are in the bottom seven of the rest category. So like if you say, like if you play a, you know, Thursday night game after a Sunday night game and your opponent just had a bye week, obviously that's a big rest disadvantage. It's interesting, Michael, Green Bay, Minnesota, and Chicago, 25th, 29th, and 30th in the entire league as far as their rest rates, all pretty well into the negatives this year. It's not something that should ever move the needle when you're talking about betting a team from a future standpoint. Obviously, the presence of a guy like Aaron Rodgers, which we, again, think is now going to be the case in Green Bay with with this latest report today. But when you think about this from the futures perspective, it's not like there's a lot of other there's a lot of scenarios here where other teams in the NFC North are going to be able to find ways just to pick up ground on Green Bay solely because of favorable scheduling stretches or good extended spots where they've got a lot of time off relative to their opponents. I just find that interesting. Like if you're looking at this solely on paper and you're saying, look, all right, Green Bay, pretty tough schedule. They're getting a little bit of a disadvantage on the rest rate, but I mean, look at the rest of the division. Minnesota and Chicago have really, really tough schedules this season, and the rest doesn't help them either, where you think about some of the scenarios where they have to play teams immediately after potential short weeks and facing other teams coming off a bye. How do you see things breaking out from that standpoint?
Well, I think, look, when you look at the Packers schedule and you look at the Central, the North schedule, I call it the Central, I mean, they play the NFC West, which is, we think, is one of the hardest divisions in football.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, that's a real problem. And the Packers play a first-place schedule to go along with the West. That's not going to be easy.
We yes, again, that also is a big reason why this whole division going to have a tough go of it this year. By the way, the Detroit Lions, the only team not in that bottom seven of the rest metrics, they are number two. Of course, how much does rest really help, Michael, when your team is not good to begin with? So that's one of those. Like you gotta apply this into spots where it actually makes sense. And yeah, Detroit, I don't know if you're high on them, Michael, but it seems like it's going to be a slog for Dan Campbell in year number one. When we return here on the Lombardi Line, we have a segment called Make It Make Sense, and it's my debut time, at least with you, Michael, on the show. So I'm going to give you a couple of futures thoughts I have in the NFL and get your thoughts when we return. It is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Into the Monday edition of the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Busy show today as we kick off your week with the late breaking news coming across just at the top of the hour here that sounds like, according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, Aaron Rodgers expects to be suiting up for the Green Bay Packers this season. So, look, yeah, Michael, we're starting the week off with a bang here on the show. Again, he's Michael Lombardi joining us from his studios on the East Coast. I'm Ben Wilson, Stephanie Kamerschak, our producer. And we also have this segment, I have been told, is a very fun segment, Michael, called Make It Make Sense. I get to give my picks and you get to break them down. I figured, you know, normally a lot of times we'll go like on the daily slate here, but look, you're going to be back with the amazing Stormy Bonantoni on Thursday and Friday, and then Patrick Maher returns from his sabbatical of sorts. I don't know where Patrick is, but he'll be back on Sunday.
I think he's fixing the Tigers. I mean, the Tigers have been playing better baseball since Patrick's taken off. So I think a lot of it has to do with maybe Patrick's ability to coach that Tiger team up. Yeah,
him and AJ Hinch, like they're definitely tight. So my point is, this is like my one chance to get some of my NFL futures thoughts in for you, Michael. So let's just start off. Let's take a stab here. Go big or go home. Browns Rams exact Super Bowl matchup. 66-1 is the best number you can find, and that is actually at BetMGM. What do you think?
You know, I like it. My concern are the Rams. Staying healthy. I think you're really weighing a lot there. To think that Andre Whitworth can play 17 games and then make it through the playoffs and stay healthy, I think that's going to be the critical player on their team. He's got to block well. The left tackle, Joe Noteboom's not going to be able to fill that role if he gets hurt. So, you know, I do think they have a talented team with Matthew Stafford. But, you know, we've never seen Matthew Stafford play well in those games that really matter. So that would concern me. And then, you know, I have a hard time thinking that the Chiefs would lose. But when you break down the Chiefs and how to beat them, the Browns have a team that has elements that can give the Chiefs problems. They can control the ball. They've got a big-time passing game. They've got corners that can cover. They've got safeties that can tackle, and they can rush for and get there. So I don't dislike it. I think if you're going to play a guessing game, I think that's a pretty good guess right there.
And my point on this as well, Michael, it's, you know, we always talk about hedging and how you should, you know, handle futures bets. Like when I'm making a bet like this, my purpose here is, like, I want to make a bet where two teams I believe that will be in the playoffs that are going to have a puncher's chance, and then I'm going to give myself, like, it's 66-1. You're giving yourself a really wide margin to make a nice profit here and come out, hedge a little bit in the playoffs, especially if, to your point, maybe the Rams, it's going to be such a slog, as we know, in the NFC West. Like, maybe they get in, but it's 10-7, and they're in a wild card position, and they've got a tough road and a long road ahead of them. So that's kind of my thought on this as well, because the other one I was thinking about, Browns-Buccaneers Super Bowl matchup, that's only 30-1. So to me, the value there is at the 66 price, and I could potentially jump in, make a nice little profit. Again, if you believe in the, you know, the team you're betting against, once you get into that position. But as you make the point, though, like the Cleveland Browns, that actually is the side of that I was more willing to go in on. That's the part I actually like the most. And so another option here, Browns plus 750 to win the AFC. That is the best number you can get in Nevada. That's also at BetMGM. In East Coast jurisdictions, DraftKings has them at 8-1. That's the best number I've seen anywhere. And so it kind of sounds like you're a little more in line with the Browns, obviously, than the Rams. That's kind of my thought as well. Just thinking, when you break down them from a positional standpoint, there are only two teams, Michael, coming into the year, at least if you're going off the Football Outsiders, Sharp Football breakdowns by position. There's only two teams in the league who are top 15 across the board at every position. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Cleveland Browns. So what do you think about the Browns at that 7.5-1 mark, even with some of the bets that have come in on them to drop that number?
Well, I think this, you know, I think Baker Mayfield, we found out he wasn't a RPO quarterback. We found out that he's better under center, that he can make plays when he has the ability to get under center, play action pass, throw the ball down the field, and throw into wide open receivers. And I think the scheme fits him perfectly. And I'm sure they're going to overpay him. They probably don't have a choice, but he does fit exactly what they want. And to go along with Hunt and Nick Chubb in the backfield, they've got really good receivers. They get Beckham back this year, which will help them, especially on third down, and they get some isolated coverages on the outside. And then defensively, to me, the big question mark is, are they going to be good enough on defense? Can they really affect the passing game? Well, Clowney, he's not going to play 17 games. There's no chance. But Clowney, if he could stay healthy and give them 10 to 15 plays a game, could be the impact plays that they need. They got to be able to have some help for Myles Garrett on the other side.
All right, make it make sense. When Patrick comes back, Michael, you got to tell him, like, look, when you were gone, we were getting 66-1 long shots thrown out here. Like, you got to step up your game, man. It's got to be the message, right?
Patrick always is ready to go. He's always got those ones. He thinks about it all the time. So I'm sure he's been working on it. I'm sure I'm going to walk into a trap when he gets back on Sunday.
I'm sure. Patrick enjoying his well-deserved time off. He'll be back on Sunday. But when we return, we'll be joined by our man, Josh Applebaum, going to join us with his Market Insights reports as we continue on. It's the Lombardi Line, continuing next here on VSiN. VSiN football betting guides are coming soon, and there is no better way to prepare for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Each guide is only $20, and discounts are available when you buy both. Now is the time to reserve your copy or sign up for VSiN All Access and get everything we offer for the entire football season. Sign up now at vsin.com/subscribe. We're back on the Lombardi Line, busy, newsworthy show today, as we welcome back in Michael Lombardi on the East Coast. I'm Ben Wilson here at our South Point Sportsbook Studios, and we also welcome in our good friend Josh Applebaum for his first of a two parts, a little market insight report. Follow him at Josh_insights. As we welcome in Josh, happy Monday to you, sir. Hey, no news to talk about, is there, Josh? Just a run-of-the-mill Monday here.
Oh man, this stuff is crazy, guys. I think Aaron Rodgers, just when they think I'm out, they pull me back in, Michael. And it's great to be with you here on a Monday. But Michael, you guys are seeing the news. This tweet, obviously across the board here, and it's blown up on Twitter. Aaron Rodgers, now speculation. I mean, we've gone through everything here. We went through he's staying in Green Bay, so then he's leaving. We saw Friday Night Circa was one of the only sports books when the speculation that he may retire. Every book pulls their odds. Circa kept theirs up. They adjusted that win total 11 down to 8.5. Michael, I think if we're looking at Jordan Love here, we're probably going to hammer that under. Now, obviously, things change. Rodgers seems like he's pulling all his different cards. He's using his leverage. But the latest report now, as you guys have seen, is that there's optimism that he may return, telling people close to him, to Ian Rappaport, that he could come back. So, Michael, to me, it's like, hey, wake me when we have some definitive news here. We're going back and forth. But the one thing I did notice, guys, Michael, your initial reaction, that week one opening night line where we have Green Bay, New Orleans, it's a 425 game on September 12th there. It has moved a little bit. This was early on, minus two-ish for New Orleans at home. Got up to three, speculation that Rodgers may retire or leave. Michael, it is getting hit as we speak. A lot of these threes, so a lot of lines are off the board. Some that are still up are three, down to 2.5, down to 2. This thing may get down to a pick'em. Who knows where it'll go if Rodgers will play. But, Michael, just your reaction on that game, but overall, just the whole Aaron Rodgers saga here.
You know, I think in opening weekend, and I'm going to wait and see this in the preseason as I evaluate the tape, but I think teams like New Orleans, Pittsburgh, you know, Atlanta, teams that have had real serious cap issues trying to improve their team, you know, the first month of the season, I think it's going to be a little bit of a challenge for them. And New Orleans is the perfect example. Uncertainty at quarterback, uncertainty at wide receiver, now that Michael Thomas is out for probably 4 months. I mean, you can write off this season for Michael Thomas. So, you know, defensively, they lose Hendrickson. Is Davenport going to be good enough? Do they have another corner to go along with Lattimore? All those question marks come to mind. And when you open up against Aaron Rodgers, if he is the quarterback, which I fully expect him to be, you know, you're not going to be able to fool him with Dennis Allen's blitzes. You know, you're not going to be able to fool him with his overload pressures and try to steal a possession one or two. You're not going to be able to do it. The guy's too good at it. He's seen everything you have. So, you know, and then you don't really challenge the Green Bay defense. Jarry Alexander will walk up and cover Taquan David anywhere he wants. Smith, it'll be easy for him. So, I think that line, I mean, if it's going to move to a pick'em, I'm all over Green Bay in that line. I don't see how these two teams are even based on their off seasons, even though Green Bay didn't do very much in the off season. But New Orleans lost a lot.
Yeah, you think about it as well. This also, Josh, impacts the futures markets. That's the other thing Michael and I, we've been talking about throughout the show, with how some of these markets have been taken off the board, reposted, slightly different numbers. Latest we've been seeing, Packers as of right now at BetMGM, 8-1 to win the NFC, 16-1 to win the Super Bowl. But all these teams, really, in the NFC are having these odds that he's impacted by the back and forth that we're seeing with the Aaron Rodgers reports. And, of course, the latest report indicating, as you mentioned, Josh, that he is likely and expects to take snaps week one for the Green Bay Packers. So when you think about a team like at the top of the board with the Tampa Bay trying to defend their title, what sort of movement, what sort of thoughts do you have on a team like that? It might not be a huge reaction to this news at least, but in general, there's probably going to be some movement before we get to the start of the year, both from this aspect as well as people wanting to talk themselves into a Brady back-to-back Super Bowl repeat here.
Yeah, Ben, you're totally right. And I think, you know, a year from now, they're going to write a 30 for 30 on the futures movement and the odds makers and the books and how they're handling this Aaron Rodgers stuff. It's really fascinating. I think you're going to have a lot of people cash or lose a lot of bets based on what number they got when this news started to leak out. So this naturally, Michael, I look to the Buccaneers here. You know, we did see a huge bet that came in over the weekend here. Our buddy John Ewing at BetMGM reported this. There's a big bet, $30,000 on the Bucs to repeat and win the Super Bowl here at plus 700 odds. That would pay out around $210,000 at BetMGM. So it just got me thinking, Michael, Super Bowl futures here. We're still seeing what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers, but Tom Brady bringing everyone back. Year two in Tampa, we talked about his win total. We really like that over 11.5. Easy schedule, returning your starters. But if you look at the Super Bowl futures in particular, Michael, 15% of the tickets are on the Bucs three-peat, almost 25% of the handle. So it's not just recreational $5 bets. It's these bigger wagers here banking on Tampa as well. They open plus 1,200. They're down to plus 700 right now. My question to you, Michael, is, are you bullish on Tampa repeating? We know how hard it is to repeat in the NFL. It's one of the hardest things to do. Again, will there be a hangover? If you could make a bet right now, plus 700, would you be enticed by the Bucs repeating? Or if not, who do you think could knock them off? KC is plus 450. Buffalo Bills, San Fran, the Ravens, the Browns, all these teams here around plus 1,400. Just your thoughts on Brady and the Bucs repeating. Do you like their chances?
Well, I think this, Josh. I think, you know, look, we're talking about an older quarterback in his 40s. I mean, we act like he's going to play for another 20 years. I mean, you know, and we all know that the injuries that creep into a player as he gets older is hard. And I think Brady's remarkable. Look, I love the guy and won two Super Bowl with him. And I'm very fortunate to have those. But, I mean, every day you're always worried about, is that Achilles going to pop? Because that's what happens to older guys. Is that, you know, last year he played all year with a torn MCL and he got through it. What happens if something else happens? I mean, it's a challenge. And to me, Father Time might be the bigger opponent than the Minnesota Vikings or the Green Bay Packers in the NFC East, in the NFC overall. You know, do I think there's a team? The NFC, the Rams are low. The Rams are good. There's no denial. The Rams went in there last year at Tampa with Jared Goff and handled them very well. So, you know, the 49ers, depending on their quarterback situation, you know, I just don't think the Saints are going to be as good as they've been in the past. But I don't feel there's a team that's – it's not like the AFC where there's a bunch of teams mm-hmm. competing. Cleveland, Buffalo, Kansas City, you know, Miami, New England, whatever they are. I think it's a little more challenging. And I think the only thing really separating the Bucks isn't so much – The complacency, it's can Brady stay completely healthy, which everybody just assumes is easy to do.
And to your point, Michael, if you think about the rest of that team, where is a weakness? It's the running back position. It's not like you have a whole lot to fall back on if you have a Brady injury or if you see struggles at that position. So, no, it's going to be very fascinating to see how the Bucs approach this season as they look to defend their Super Bowl title. When we return, we'll get more of Josh Applebaum's thoughts, a couple of interesting moves on season win totals, and also look at the MLB slate on this Monday. That is next when we come back to wrap up the Lombardi Line. With BetMGM's Money Monday Club, a $10 free bet will automatically be added to your account when you place a total of $50 in wagers between Monday and Sunday. That's right, you'll wake up to a $10 free bet every Monday just for betting $50 during the previous 7 days. Get rewarded for your bets every week at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, Washington, D.C., or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. 1-800-270-7117. For confidential help in Michigan, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania and West Virginia, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, and 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789. Money Monday Club not available in Nevada. We are back. Final segments of the Lombardi Line on this news-packed Monday with, we told you about the breaking news at the top of the hour, reports from Ian Rappaport that it is likely, at least according to Aaron Rodgers from sources around him, he expects to be with the Green Bay Packers for the start of the season this year. We've been talking about that all show here with Michael Lombardi on the East Coast, as well as Josh Applebaum, who joins us now for his look into all things going on in the betting market. So staying in the NFL here, Josh, I know in addition to all the Rodgers news, we've seen some interesting movements in the win totals discussion, and it's something Michael and I have talked about. We're getting to that point where people want to start getting down on some of these futures bets and have action as we get towards August and the preseason starting next week with training camps opening up here later this week. So looking at teams like the Colts and the Cardinals, I understand there's some interesting movement going on there.
Yeah, definitely interesting movement here, Ben. Just an update here. During the break, I looked up some of this movement here with Aaron Rodgers. We have seen at DraftKings, they just updated their futures here. Green Bay Super Bowl winner, they went from plus 2,800 down to plus 1,400. So they pretty much are now back in that group, that top four with Kansas City, the Bucks, Buffalo, San Fran, in that kind of area territory. So plus 2,800 down to plus 1,400. Following this, basically the Rappaport tweet moved that number, you know, this much here overall. But Michael, I wanted to switch gears here, go to the AFC, talk about the Colts. You know, we did see today Frank Reich tested positive for COVID. He's asymptomatic. He was vaccinated. He should be okay. But it just got me thinking overall about the Colts and your take on Carson Wentz and this team overall. You know, their win total this year is 9.5. They had a good year last year, 11-5, but you're switching from Phillip Rivers, obviously, to Carson Wentz. 9.5 win total, really juiced up to the over, Michael, minus 150. The Colts are also minus 160 to make the playoffs here. They're plus 1,400 to win the AFC. They're plus 2,500 to win the Super Bowl. Obviously, you're going to feast on that division. The Texans, the Jaguars, you're going to get four games against them. We do have Carson Wentz plus 800 comeback player of the year odds here. And kind of an easy schedule. They have the ninth easiest schedule. Their opponents' records from last year, 130 and 142. That's a 478 win percentage. So, Michael, what do you think? Right now, they're kind of neck and neck with the Titans here to win that AFC South. But would you go over 9.5 wins? And are you bullish on Carson Wentz? What can we expect from him? Will Reich kind of be his wizard here to get him back to what we think Wentz was?
Well, you know, we go back to 17, right, when he was the MVP of the league before the injury in Los Angeles, and the Eagles had a really good ground game. I mean, they traded for Jay Ajayi at the trading deadline. They had LeGarrette Blount. They averaged, both backs averaged over 5 yards a carry. They ran the ball. They were not an RPO team at that time. They were running what Carson Wentz liked. And when Wentz got hurt, they transitioned into more of an RPO team because that's what Nick Foles did really well. And then when Wentz came back, they kind of stayed with it. And the owner, we know, doesn't like running the football. He wants to throw it. And I get that. You throw the ball to score in the NFL. I understand that, you know. But also, you can control the pace of the game. And it also helps your quarterback when he's under center a little bit and he can deal with some play action. I thought Wentz got hit way too much last year, and it showed up in his yards per attempt, and it's been streaming downhill ever since. I think he'll get better fundamental coaching in Indianapolis with Frank Wright. I think the offense behind that ground game, behind that really good offensive line with the question mark at left tackle with Sam Tevy having to fill in for Eric Fisher while he's rehabbing from his Achilles, becomes a little bit of a problem. So they'll run the ball, they'll play action, they've got good talent on offense, and he doesn't have to carry the load. And I think Wright knows who the player is. Frank Wright knows exactly what Carson Wentz is good at doing and what he's not good at doing. And he'll feature that, which I think is critical. I think it's really critical. And I don't think it's something that Doug Peterson did at Philadelphia very well. You know, his eye level was down. He was getting hit way too much. You know, his quarterback rating last year, Josh, was 72. You know, we're talking about Jalen Hurts like he's some savior coming in. His quarterback rating was 77. They could not protect last year in Philly, and it affected both quarterbacks.
You think about protection as well. This applies to another team that I know, Josh, you want to get into, the Arizona Cardinals. I was doing some prep for the season last night, reading up on the Cardinals. And it's kind of amazing. You think about the EPA, expected points added per play, on Kyler Murray before his shoulder injury that was then aggravated in week 11 and after, and just how downhill things really went for the Arizona Cardinals. Like, we all knew it was a big drop off, but I don't think we really realized how big of a deal it was and how much production they lost with a depleted Murray, even though he tried to play through the injury. So, Josh, give us some of your thoughts here. I know you want to tee up Michael as well, but thinking about the Cardinals, as Michael and I talked about earlier, the NFC West going to be such a tough division this year. How are the books expecting Kyler Murray and the Cardinals to look this season?
Yeah, Ben, looking at these numbers right now, and again, you know, we have seen Chandler Jones just requested a trade. You know, he was hurt pretty much all last year. We'll see how that goes. But it just got me thinking about the Cardinals and maybe what we can expect from them this year. So, Michael, they have improved. You know, this is going into year three with the combination of Kingsbury and Murray. They're 5-10-1 their rookie year, 8-8 last year. Michael, you made a great point last year. Once Murray hurt his shoulder, that really changed everything. And, Ben, those stats you threw at, throughout us kind of just totally illustrates what a difference that was and how they kind of were less, more predictable and much harder to defend. But Michael, look at the win total for Arizona, 8-8 last year. The win total is 8.5 this year, but it's juiced up to the under. The under is minus 120. So I think we look at Murray, and again, he's got good MVP odds, plus 1400. I think he's the fifth best odds here overall. But they're going to have a tough schedule, 13th hardest schedule this year. Their opponents last year, 138 and 134, a 507 win percentage. They added J.J. Watt. They added A.J. Green. They drafted Zaven Collins. Some of these veterans long in the tooth here, Michael. But can they win 9 games? The books are kind of saying they're not too optimistic about it. The under is being juiced. They've shown this improvement. However, tough division, tough schedule. Michael, what do you think? Can they win 9 games? It looks, based on the odds makers, that they're thinking another 8-9 type season.
I think that's right. I mean, look, the right side of their offensive line, Brian Winters and Kelvin Beachum, that was the offensive line of the New York Jets last year or 2 years ago. I mean, is that really what you want? And every offensive lineman, with the exception of DJ Humphreys, is over 30 years old. I mean, this has a great opportunity for guys to get hurt. Now, look, they trade for Rodney Hudson. I think Rodney Hudson's a really good player. Can he hold up? You know, he has in the past, but we shall see. This is an older team. I mean, this is a nostalgia team. You know, they've always liked older players who they sign at the end. A.J. Green, I mean, A.J. Green looked done to me last year. And he looked done. He couldn't run. He couldn't separate. You know, and it wasn't just because he was playing in Cincinnati. It looked like his father time had got him. Maybe that changes. You know, J.J. Watt, he didn't look like the same player. You know, he was on that Houston defense. It wasn't just, you know, he wasn't playing well. So I have a lot of questions. And I think 17 games with Kyler Murray, and I think he's sensational. He's fast. He's athletic. He can throw the ball from one side to the other. There's no limit to his arm. But at some point, you've got to be able to prove to people you can stay in the pocket, you can handle the inside pressure, and you can throw the ball over the top of big arms. And that's something that when people rush him the right way, he hasn't been able to do. Now, you say, well, why doesn't everybody do it? Because most of the teams in the NFL don't spend enough time on pass rush, on coordinating their pass rush, on how they're going to attack the quarterback. Al Davis used to believe the defensive front controlled the quarterback, not the secondary. How we rush this quarterback, how we set up our pass rush, force this guy to certain sides. Mahomes, I'm not forcing him to his right. I'm going to force him to his left. But Murray, when he gets out of the pocket, we can't catch him. Whereas, you know, Tua, when he gets out of the pocket, we can catch him. So how do we handle him in the pocket? What do we do with him?
And I think, too, you know, Josh, the one thing I'll say as well, like Rondale Moore, I loved that draft pick for Arizona. And a guy, when you think about his depth of routes he ran at Purdue, and especially with how Kyler Murray has struggled at times with the deep ball, especially on those big third downs, like I think him and Moore will have a really good connection. It's just about, yeah, I mean, the rest of the team, also keep in mind, from an opposing offense standpoint, they had one of the easiest schedules last year as far as opposing offenses. They have the largest jump of any team in the NFL as far as difficulty in opposing offense that they're facing this year. So I think it, what you guys say, I think there's a reason we should have that. We do have questions to begin with. And I think that there's a reason why that number is so low, at least on Arizona. Josh, just wanted to pivot real quick before we get you out of here and end the show. I know there's also some MLB action today. We love the NFL futures talk. Of course, it can sustain us any show. But for people wanting to get bets in tonight, some big series, some in the NL East, AL East. I know the Sox have started a big series as well tonight. They will be taking on the Blue Jays there. So a massive series implications there. It's also an Ohtani day today as he takes the ball on the mound for the Angels. So where are you looking on the baseball card tonight, Josh?
Yeah, Ben, a lot going on here. And there is a tenet of the Lombardi line. Steam ends as soon as the NFL starts. So I got to get these steam plays in MLB in before the NFL starts here. But the Red Sox guys, I'm looking at Boston today. You know, they do have a pretty good move in their favor. They open around minus 120 at home at Fenway against Toronto. Toronto struggled here. 1-4 their last five. Sox 5-1 their last six. Red Sox gotten steamed up minus 120 to around minus 135. They've been great at home, 31-20. Good as a favorite. Good against righties, 40-25. And then if you're looking for some dogs, guys, Colorado Rockies. Everyone's betting on Ohtani, but this line on the Angels has dipped a bit. Minus 150, down around minus 140, moving a little bit to Colorado. And then a really gross one here is Kansas City Royals. Everyone's betting Chicago White Sox, but it's kind of stayed the same. White Sox minus 120. It's dipped a little bit, minus 118. One system I like is betting against teams that played Sunday Night Baseball and then have to travel the next day. It can sometimes be a tough spot. So Red Sox, KC, and Colorado here, a couple dog plays as well.
I was about as emotional as you can get in a regular season game last night. If you were watching that White Sox, they were incredibly fired up after just avoiding a sweep against the Milwaukee Brewers. So great stuff, Josh. Yeah, get all your steam, get it all out. Just get it all out of your system before start of the NFL season. Josh Applebaum again, follow him at Josh_insights. Josh, appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us. And Michael, been a blast hanging out with you today on the Lombardi line.
Same
it's
with
nice.
You,
we,
Ben.
You know, we had a couple things to talk about today, but it's been a blast hanging out with you. And we'll be back Thursday with Stormy Bond and Tony. So have a good couple of days off.
Thank you. Have a great
Thanks,
one.
Guys.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Josh.
All right. That'll
Thanks,
do
Michael.
It for us on the Lombardi. And thanks you as well to Stephanie Kamerschick, our outstanding producer. We will send it next down to our Circa Sportsbook Studios for the nuts. Mike Palm, Amal Shaw, take you next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.